Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner NCHV, National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I'm on the show right now. I'm the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold, and I have the godfather, the governor, the preeminent Cliff Kelly on the radio with me as well. And we have panelists on the phone. We have our call-in partner with NCHV is Catherine Monet, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. We have Ralph Cooper, who is the Community and Residential Veteran Services Coordinator, Cloudbreak Houston, LLC, and co-founder of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. We also have Wendy McClinton, the CEO of Black Veterans for Social Justice and NCHV board member. We'll start off with Catherine Monet. I love the name because I love art.
Monet, yeah.
We'll start with you, Catherine. You can tell us a little bit about how NCHV came about and how it's organized.
Yeah, so NCHV came about in 1990. A group of gentlemen, including Mr. Cooper here on the phone, got together and decided that, you know, there were just too many homeless veterans. The government wasn't doing quite enough. They weren't really doing hardly anything. And so they worked together to create more services, improve access to shelter, housing, employment, you know, and all the other services that a veteran would need. We've been around since 1990, and we still do that work, but we also now do trainings for service providers. We run a toll-free hotline for veterans who are in a housing crisis, and we connect them to our members who are all across the country so that they can access help in their local community.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is. Wow. Yeah, there are so many partners. Pardon me, there are so many, I should say. We need partners like you, but there are so many veterans that are homeless. Do we have any idea how many there are?
Yeah, on any given night, there were about 37,000 in 2019. We're expecting to see that number rise just because of the economic situation that we're in due to the coronavirus crisis and the pandemic.
Oh, boy, that's an incredible number. And when we say homeless veterans, we're talking about sometimes entire families, right? The veterans, their kids, and spouses as well?
Yeah, so the kids and spouses wouldn't be counted in that number, but yes, absolutely. Nobody goes homeless by themselves, right? If you've got a family, oftentimes they're with you, or your children might be, you know, at grandma's house, but there's not enough space for you, so you might be somewhere else.
Oh, boy. And, you know, what kind of services do you provide for them once they do call the number and you, you know, you find housing for them? And how does that work out?
Yeah, so we connect them with organizations in their community like Black Veterans for Social Justice, who's got, you know, services like employment and shelters and permanent supportive housing. We also connect them to other services and other programs across the country that provide rapid rehousing services where, you know, they get connected with a case manager, they get some subsidy for their first few months of rent and get connected to a bunch of other services to stabilize.
Oh, great. And Ralph, you know, you're the Community and Residential Veteran Services Coordinator, and I've learned something in history, and I know Cliff knows this, the longer your title name is, the more work you're probably doing.
That's true.
Maybe you can tell us what you do, how that works.
Well, right, Cloudbreak Houston is the largest provider of housing for homeless veterans in the country. Actually, it's Cloudbreak Communities Incorporated because we're in Phoenix, we're in California, we're in, I already said Phoenix, Arizona, Hawaii. We're in about eight different places throughout the nation. And in Houston, we have 500 bed residents who were previously homeless. And we also have about 140 residents going through the transitional program, the grant and per diem program, where they come off the street and kind of get themselves together and get re-educated to how to live independently in their own unit.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so
that's got to be a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you that Wendy McClinton, CEO of Black Veterans and Social Justice and NCHV board member, what exactly is going on now? Hopefully we're doing better. I mean, by that, obviously, getting more off the street. I'm sure that's what Dr. Arnold and I are concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, working with the Department of Homeless Services in New York City, that's the city that I can speak to. Working with the Department of Homeless Services, our police department, other DHS and social service, DSS, I'm sorry, Department of Social Services, trying to engage individuals on the street and then ask them to come in for services. You can only ask. You know, if they say no, then it's no. But you can only ask to do that. But yes, it is, we're working towards making New York City veteran friendly.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and, you know, and Wendy, as a, you know, social justice and NCHV board member, you know, what motivated you to join the board, first of all? And then, you know, what do you see as the major social justice issues that we're facing right now?
No, what made me join the board was because of their what they stood for, mm-hmm. that homelessness, that no veteran should be homeless within the United States. Mm-hmm. And at any means possible, getting them to be housed and getting them to be secure, because at the end of the day, we service this country. The country should service us just the way we gave that ultimate service to the country that we served. And the coalition, they do that. The National Coalition of Homeless Veterans, they do that. They develop linkages. They believe in partnerships, because it's not just one individual that makes this, that puts an end to homelessness. It's everyone working together to make homelessness something of the past with regard to veterans. Some of these, right now during the COVID times, with the VA not being open, we're doing telehealth and different things of that nature, which is that as a means or a way to connect with the veterans. However, there's nothing like that camaraderie that we had when we were in the military. Our groups, you know, being able to come to the hospital, being able to put that one-on-one connection with our doctor. I think that the VA should be more advanced in how they're going to do this, to open up those hospital doors like all other city hospitals are open. You know, we need to open those doors as well. Another thing that we need to do is to make sure that the funding to service veterans does not cease. During this pandemic and during, you know, the different financial climate that we're in right now, and as across the country, individuals are looking at their budgets and different things like that, veterans can't be at the top of your chopping block. They can't be.
Yes.
You know, because when
there's one thing I remember that really, I think back, because this is years ago, obviously, there were two service people, two who had been in the military, in the neighborhood when I was growing up, you know, high school, whatever. And I thought that they were members of the family. They weren't. They were living there because the people who owned the building said, you need a place to stay. And you know, I hope there are a lot of people who do that even today. This was a long time ago, obviously, but people just ought to reach out to veterans and help them as much as they can, because they need that, correct?
But it's a reaching out individually, but it's a reaching out through our city, state, and federal funding. And with the VA. You know, the VA is an entity all to itself. You know, it can't be an island to itself, and that's the problem. How do you house a Department of Veteran Affairs or a Veterans Administration or a VA hospital in New York City, and New York City partner with that hospital to get the necessary services for veterans in New York State? How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so important, you know, and that's, you know, one of the other questions I sort of had was, you know, are there things that are secondary to this as far as job training or linkages that you see as being important, you know, to sort of restabilize people's lives? Because any one of us, you know, we say, you know, there's a saying, you know, all of us are just one paycheck away from homelessness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, is there a way that you have other services that, you know, other than just being in a physical housing unit, you know, are you connected to other groups or service organizations that help the veterans sort of reestablish their lives or, you know, get them on a better path?
Yes, we are. We are fortunate to have three homeless veterans reintegration programs, which work with employment and housing, getting homeless veterans employed. And then we also have our permanent housing, which goes anywhere from transitional to permanent housing. And then we have the opportunity to work with the Department of Homeless Services, which allows us to then connect veterans with those shelters and those T2s or whatever they may need for their families to get them housed. Without housing, then they can't move forward with employment and anything else, so that they then become, again, contributed members to society.
Fantastic. And, you know, what I want you to do is give us the toll-free hotline number and, you know, the hours of operation, you know, so you can, you know, say that number, and then how do people get in touch with you? I'm going to ask you again in the program, but I just wanted to get that out a couple of times.
Got it. So okay. NCHV's toll-free hotline is 1-800-VET-HELP, and it is available Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. That's 1-800-VET-HELP.
1-800-VET-HELP. Fantastic. And is anything online, you know, do you have like a website or anything that people can go to as well?
We sure do. It's www.nchv.org.
Fantastic. Yeah, you made it really easy, because Vet Help, even I can remember that.
Sure, yeah. I was going to say that, Doc. She's got it all down. Everything you need, she's got it. If you don't take advantage of that, it's your fault. Certainly isn't hers.
You know, John, one of the big issues, and I heard it being mentioned, is COVID-19. And that's impacting not only veterans' health, because they can't use the VA the way they should. It's also impacting housing. Because, you know, we have 500 residents, so we've got to test them. If, you know, and like Wendy said, we have to ask them, may we test them? Mm-hmm. And then if they're positive, we have to figure out a way to isolate them for 14 days. Mm-hmm. If they can't be isolated on the property, then the city of Houston and through Coalition for Homeless, we're able to house them in hotel units. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I just don't know if your listeners know that how serious this thing is impacting veterans. We have just had one of our major heroes, Carlos Martinez, who was heading up the GI Forum. His wife died a few weeks before him, and then he died back here on the 3rd. On Tuesday, the 4th. And he was a healthy, great guy. He started a company that made cardboard. He had contracts with the post office, and he put veterans to work and also used the money from that to funnel into the nonprofit. He is a nationally known hero, advisor to presidents, and on the NCHV board, and also on several advisory committees for the Veterans Administration. I work with him personally. This is impactful for me. This is a great man, and he's gone. His wife is gone, and how many other stories like that across the state with this virus is taking?
You just pulled the heartstring, you know, on me, because I had a friend of mine who I knew for 35 years. model veteran, and he was an operating room technician, you know, and he had done that for like 30 years. He died about 2 months ago. His name was Juan Martinez, and he actually, died 3 days before his day of retirement.
Oh, wow.
Taking care of patients. And so we have valiant veterans who are out there fighting this thing on the front lines, our medics, paramedics, and people who, we just take for granted sometimes that they're there, protecting us every day. So I'm really glad you said that about him and how intricately and interwoven he was with this whole process and making sure we protect our veterans. Another great hero, so I'm glad you brought his name up. And
thank you.
Yeah. And, what do you think people can do to help your effort? Because, as you were bringing the COVID up, I was thinking I'm actually working now with some state and city officials in the public health sector. Do you think that there's a responsibility for, our state health officials and our public, public health component to maybe give some aid to this, because they do, COVID testing, seasonal flu vaccinations, which I think everyone should get early, not to wait till the fall. But do you think there is some kind of relationship that needs to exist between interdepartmental agencies at the state level? Because you mentioned, having city, state, and federal funding. But do you think some of that should be, helped or assisted at the state level? Other than just the VA, the regular Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Well, one of the things, Dr. Arnold, we need to, we've talked about this but we'd like to talk about the impact COVID is having on organizations that serve people and veterans experiencing homelessness. Because, as first responders, many shelters and supportive housing providers, members are the ones on the front lines ensuring veterans can access housing and shelter. And some of our members, as you know, have faced outbreaks in the facilities, and they're running shelters for COVID plus homelessness veterans and civilians, and some have passed due to COVID. You know, we've talked about that before.
Yes, yes.
Well, the family members are really important. Wendy has an interesting situation that's critical. She talked. Wendy, can you talk about the food situation that you mentioned to us?
You said, I'm sorry, you broke up. The what situation? I couldn't hear you.
The food situation for family
members who work with you. Oh, wow. A lot of, during COVID, trying to get veterans and also our community food. And recently, I just realized that, a lot of staff individuals that you're employing, they're food bills have gone up because I was blown by the way. I never thought about it, that the kids are home. So when they leave for school, they usually have breakfast and lunch and snack and all of that at school. And now that they're home, guess what? That expense has increased. Mm. And I found that out, during working out with a group that was donating food to families and different things like that, and the food being brought to the organization, and we were able to help not only staff, but we were able to help other community residents as well. And I thought about it, and I was like, wow, we have to really do something to help these veteran families that are experiencing these larger expenses due to COVID on their fixed income.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. Dr. Arnold, you've got to, I'm not able to keep time today. Normally,
Oh, yes. I know you usually have normally, the eye on that clock.
Yeah. I've been running behind the clock. So I just want to make sure that you keep the time. Otherwise, Glenda will be doing a job on her.
Oh, you should be looking for me. Well, we have 3 minutes before we do to start to close out.
Okay, good. I figured you were on top of it. I just want to make sure.
But, you know, one thing is, can you, maybe I'll go down the line and just, in like, you know, less than a minute, if you can, you know, summarize some of the things that you people, the take-home points that you think people need to know. And I'm going to go down the list. So I'm going to start with Catherine and then Ralph and then Wendy. Just give us like a snapshot of what you see and what you think is important for people to know. And then you can close out by giving the toll-free hotline and the access numbers is, once again, and the hours of operation as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I think the big picture thing for me from the national perspective is that COVID is real. It's still impacting a large number of veterans and our members across the country who are literally running into the fire to help these veterans. I think that there are a lot of impacts to this large group of people, even beyond some of the issues that we traditionally advocate for that are funded by VA. And one of the things that I think is really important for people to remember is that, you know, Congress is working supposedly on a coronavirus relief package. And I think to the extent that people can get engaged with their legislators and push for, you know, broad-based relief for people who need it, in the areas of, you know, SNAP, homeless assistance, shelter, housing investments, and, you know, healthcare even, things that would help everyday Americans, I would very much encourage anyone listening to do that.
Yes. Okay, and Ralph?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is that whether you're in a big place like ours with 500 residents or you just have a couple of people in your house. Testing is critical. Okay. Testing, and if they test positive, isolation or some sort of quarantine needs to happen. The next big thing, which is actually should be first, is wear masks. Wash your hands.
Yes.
Even use gloves where needed. We have to make this a national priority. We're not going to win unless we do it. We're only doing the thing that's going to save our own lives as well as others.
Thank you, Ralph. You know, that's, you know, it's like they say just do it. I say, always say just wear it. Just wear your mask. But I think you're absolutely right spot on what you said. That's what people need to take that home, that message, and comply with it. And then Wendy.
Very well put. great information.
Yeah. So Wendy.
Thank you, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wendy. Yeah, okay, go right ahead.
Oh, yes, thank you. If I was to give anyone to remember to continue to engage your elected officials, your public officials, to make sure that they are delivering the messages about veterans. Mm-hmm. So often we only hear about veterans on Veterans Day and Memorial Day. We have to keep it before their faces. I know MCHV is doing it on a national level, mm-hmm. but we must also do it on a local, state, and federal level as well. So that's mm-hmm. what I would have to add to that.
Oh, fantastic. So do you want to give us the honors and give us those contact numbers again and the hours of operation? Wendy?
Catherine has that.
Oh, Catherine? Okay, Catherine.
All right. So the hotline number is 1-800-VET-HELP. Again, 1-800-VET-HELP. And we're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Fantastic. So that's VETHELP. So even I can remember that. Vet Help. 1-800-VET-HELP. Anything online? Do you have an online source you'd like to give?
Mm-hmm. www.nchv.org.
Okay, excellent. You're really doing some really important work. I'm so happy that we had you on the show today. And, you know, we are just, you know, honored to have people who are serving our veterans and honoring them. And I know this initiative that, you know, we have is with, you know, restoring military honor and, you know, and valor, that people need to be engaged in making sure that people are paying attention to veterans, especially during this time with the sacrifices they made in their lives for us to be able to sit here and vote and to walk around in freedom. So we're going to now go to a commercial break, but I want to thank our guests, Catherine Monet, Ralph Cooper, and Wendy McClinton. We'll have to have you back at some point. And we are going to go to commercial break. Stay with us, and we will be back.